We'll take just a few minutes. I am going to preach. We preached this particular passage because it was our theme verse 1 year. And I do plan on preaching this verse on a Sunday morning, actually the first 15 verses on a Sunday morning in the fall. But I want to just touch on it tonight. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And let's just read verse 9 and we'll pray. Ready? "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless the reading of your word. And Lord, help us again as we, through your Holy Spirit, to labor together with you. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I look at these children tonight and just think of what we've been entrusted with. What a great responsibility we have as we labor together and working and laboring to teach and to train our kids as well as adults. If you look back at verse 1, it says that "I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as carnal, even as unto babes. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither were you now are you able. For you are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and division, are you not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I'm a Paul, and another, I'm Apollos, are you not carnal?" We see, y'all remember that Corinthians is a book written by Paul to the Corinthian church that he planted. He was there 18 months. And yet he's writing back at them and he's correcting them. It's called the Book of Corrections. He's correcting them. And the church had become divided amongst those who were teaching there. "I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos." And it goes on to say, some said they were of Peter. And so he's correcting them and said, "Listen, you're carnal." When I think of the word carnal, I think about Romans chapter 7, where Paul speaks about having that battle within him as a believer, and the things he wants to do, those are the things he don't do, and those are the things he should do. Anyway, back and forth. And so he says to them here in Corinth, he says, "You guys are carnal. You guys should not be split up. It's not about who's been baptized by who and who's been led to the Lord by who. It doesn't matter who your favorite preacher is per se and all these things." He said, "No, we should be one and unified together. Quit being carnal." He goes on to say in verse 5, he says, "But who went then in Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man." He said, who is Paul anyway, or who is Apollos anyway? I mean, their converts were given to them by the Lord. No one saves anyone. We simply give the gospel, and the pastor gives the gospel, and the master clubs, teachers give the gospel. We're just giving the gospel out. It's the Lord that gives. It's the Holy Spirit that gives understanding. We're just simply to teach and to preach, and the Holy Spirit draws them. The Holy Spirit gives them understanding. So understanding that, he says in verse 6, "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." So we see, first off, he says to them, "Hey, you guys need to quit being set up into factions. Doesn't matter who baptized you or who it was that you were saved underneath, what ministry you were underneath. You are God's garden." That's what he's saying here in verses 5 through 9. You are God's garden. Look at verse 6 again. "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." And so he gives this analogy. It's really a farming analogy. It's, raising plant analogy. Verse 9 says that we are God's husbandry, God's garden. I think here again we see in verses 1 through 4, he speaks about growth. In other words, they were carnal. They haven't grown. He said, "I desire to give you meat, but I'm having to still give you milk." We can turn to Hebrews where it speaks about that as well, about meat and strong meat, referring to the Word of God. The Word of God is our milk. The Word of God is our meat. The Word of God is our bread. The Word of God is honey, the Bible speaks about. And so he says, "You're yet carnal. You're yet carnal." Again, when we get saved, we're babes in Christ, right? The analogy is that we grow in Christ as we are fed. We think about the diet of a physically fit person. Physically fit is important, right? I pointed to myself because I'm physically fit. It's important what you put into your body. If you want to be a healthy person, it's important what you put in your body, right? I mean, exercise is only 20%, and 80% is really what you eat. You can exercise all you want, and you will not necessarily lose weight, and you will not necessarily be the healthiest person in the world. That's really 80% about what you eat. Every time I work out, I just get hungrier. Every time I work out, I worked out for January, February, March very consistently. All I did was gain weight. I was just so hungry all the time. You have to take... And then I got hurt and hadn't done nothing the last two months and have lost more weight than I did the first 3 months. But anyway, in order to be physically fit or physically healthy, you have to be careful what you do, what you eat, what you take into your body. Spiritually the same way. As spiritually, we ought to be taking the Word of God. Then it gives, again, the illustration is of a garden. As God is working the garden. He said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Again, there are some who plant the seed, and Master Club workers, and Sunday school teachers, and children's church workers, adult teachers, all of us. We're all part of this. Some plant the seed. Some get to water the seed. But remember, it doesn't matter the watering or the planting, it's God who gives the increase. You can plant, you can water, but it's God who gives the increase. So then neither, look at verse 7. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. He basically says, y'all are just laborers. This is God's garden. We're just servants. And he says, you're nothing. This goes totally contrary to humanist doctrine today, doesn't it? Where it teaches that you... You know, you got to be you, and it's all about you, and you got to love yourself, and got to be number one. I don't know. It really gets on my nerves. Facebook, and I see good Christian people biting into the stuff that they. Anyway, okay, I'll get off of that. But you have to understand that we are zero. When it comes to the garden. God's garden, we're zero. Because it's God who gives the increase. Look there again, it says, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God giveth increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. It says they're one. I want to just like jump a pew and just shout it from the rooftop. They're one. Doesn't matter whether you did the planting or you did the watering. You had a part in that person, you had a part in that plant and seeing it grow. Amen? Maybe you were ushering that day. Maybe you were greeting at the door. Maybe you came up that week and mowed the churchyard. Maybe you did knock a door. Maybe you did. Maybe you were the one who invited them. Maybe you were the one who put the flyer, the anniversary flyer or the Easter Sunday flyer on the door. But those who planted and those who water are one. Takes both. And what he's saying here is that both are equally important. Or that both are not important. It's kind of strange, isn't it? Doesn't matter whether you're singing in the choir or keeping the nursery. One. Everybody has a part. Everybody has a part. They are one. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every one shall receive his own reward according to his own fruit. Is that what it says? No, this is really important now. It says according to his own labor. It's God who gives the fruit. I'm telling you, we're not going to get to heaven, and you're going to be asked, how many people do you lead the Lord, and that's what your rewards are going to be based upon. No. It's going to be, how did you work? Listen, we are to work. And we implemented this philosophy years ago. We still every once in a while will set numerical goals as far as attendances are concerned. But we really years ago went to setting work goals. How many flyers are we going to pass out? How many tracts are we going to pass out? And it was work related because, listen, we're to do the work. God gives the increase. In other words, we're going to be rewarded for our labor, not for the fruit. Listen to this. We're going to be rewarded for our labor, not the results of that labor. I think about our missionaries. I think about Brother Brinkley in Scotland. He's been there a long time. I mean, he's been there, I don't remember how many years, 15, 20 years, been there a long time. I grew up with him. With his wife, anyway. I mean, they just now got a building here a couple years ago. I mean, they just organized their first church like this last year. After 15 years or so of being on the field. Scotland's a hard field. Listen, let me rephrase that. Scotland's a hard field to see fruit in. Now, I wonder, you know, Brother Hunter over in the Philippines, he sees many saved. He'll see hundreds saved. And all the things that go on in the Philippines, and there's great revivals that happen there, and the fruit is ripe there, and the fruit is great there, and it's amazing what's going on in the Philippines. Does that mean that Brother Hunter's going to get more reward in heaven than Brother Brinkley? No, no. The results are not what the rewards are based upon. The reward is going to be based upon your labor. Your labor. What did you do for the Lord? When we get to heaven, I just want to remind you, you're not going to give, you're not going to, there's not going to be some big screen in heaven when you get there. As a child of God, when you get to heaven, there's not going to be some screen there with all your bad stuff and all your good stuff on it. There's not going to be a scale up there to see whether or not your good works outweigh your bad works. You're not going to receive judgment for sin. Your sins are not going to be on some screen. They've already been forgiven. Amen. Amen. That's good gospel right there. You're going to be rewarded for your works. And the works, those rewards will be based upon your motives as well. And we must be reminded of that. We are to labor because our reward will be according to His own labor. For we are laborers together with God. We are laborers together with God. We are working together with Him. Laborers. Again, the analogy here, the illustration is a farm. He said, some I have planted and Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. He talks about ye are God's husbandry. I know that these children especially probably have never experienced being on a farm and experienced plowing a field or disking a field or using a drill to plant seed or whatever the case is. It's hard for sometimes to make that picture in one's mind. But that's the picture here. You think about a fruit tree. Somebody plants the tree. Somebody waters the tree. But God is the one who gives the increase. Sometimes it's discouraging when we were part of the process. And here the plant is planted. In other words, someone gets saved, and we begin to see the growth, and we begin to see the buds break out on the tree. I used to pick peaches when I was a kid. I worked for a peach orchard. I haven't given this analogy in a long time. I worked for a peach orchard. When I was 13, I had my first job, working on a peach orchard. Get up at 5:30, 4:30, whatever it was, before daylight. Get out there, ride it when the sun's coming up, and you start picking peaches. It was a great job. And because it was agricultural, you could do it and they could pay you pennies. So it didn't matter what age you were. So 13, I was picking peaches. And man, when they first start budding, you know, when those flowers first appear, you can go out there and say, man, there are tons of little, you know, flowers on those trees. And what they'll do many times, especially in this orchard, especially if it's a really good wet year, there are too many buds. And they'll go out there and they'll knock some off. Or you'll have a big storm come through and, you know, some of those will be blown off, right? And sometimes we're part of that process where we see someone we have worked on, someone we have been a part of, they've come to Sunday school, they began to make progress in their Christian growth, and all of a sudden they're gone. Can I remind you, your job is to labor. The fruit is God's. Sometimes the fruit gets on the tree. You begin to see the little peach. You say, oh, this is going to be so good. And then again, something happens, maybe a storm or drought or whatever, and those little fruit begin to fall off. And sometimes we'll see new converts, you know, get saved, and it looks like everything's going good, and the fruit is small, and all of a sudden they're gone. Can I remind you that God's responsible for the fruit? We're just responsible to labor. We see tonight a lot of fruit, amen, as we labor together and training and teaching young people and kids. What a blessing. But can I remind you that God gives the increase? We just labor. We just work at it. And by the way, we're to work till Jesus comes. And whether you're in the choir or whatever area of service you're serving in, our job is just to keep on keeping on. Keep laboring together. We are God's husbandry. We are laboring together, unified, laboring together with God. That last statement, with God, that's humbling, isn't it? That we're laboring together with God, working together with Him. May I remind you again that He gives the increase. Just keep on keeping on. There's so many verses you could turn to on this, and I'm going to turn to one more and we'll be done. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Just keep on. Keep on keeping on. We thank the workers of Master Club for all they've done this semester and this year, and look forward to a good summer and look forward to good work. Amen? Let's all stand. We'll have a verse invitation. Hymn 118, I need thee every hour. After we pray, Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for your love for us. We thank you for salvation. And Lord, we thank you for enabling us to be a part of the work. And Lord, may we continue in that labor. May we stand fast and know that our labor is not in vain. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.